good to turn to Matthew. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. And hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. And when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. And as evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is getting late. Send the crowds away so that they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." And Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." Bread and two fish, they asked people to sit down on the grass. And taking the five loaves and the two fish and looking up to heaven, he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. And they all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 baskets full of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Have you ever been one of those places in your life when you had just had about, and really the only thing that you wanted in life was to be alone, yourself, of work or school? It could be that you are walking through a season of grief or hardship in your life, and in that moment, rather than be around people, all you really want to do is be by yourself. I think all of us get to those places at some point in our lives. Even those among us who are people persons, those of us who have a heart for people and want to be with them and move toward them, all of us can kind of by ourselves. I was talking to one of our more senior saints this morning before the 9 o'clock service, and she came in and I was like, "What's new? What's happening?" She said, "I'm about to go on a cruise." And I said, "With whom?" She said, "By myself." And I said, there's part of me that thinks, wouldn't I like to just go get on just by myself? You know, no offense to my family. I love them. But the thought of getting up and like when I want to get up and eat what I want to eat and read what I want to read or go out, that kind of sounds good to me at times. And especially Moses is in a place here in the wilderness in that passage I read from Numbers chapter 11 where he's kind of overwhelmed, and you can kind of sense when you read that maybe if he could just go, he would probably choose that option rather than dealing with these people that are hard to deal with. He just left up. There is this kind of, they can never be satisfied, they can never have enough kind of. And so Moses gets to this point, and you can kind of hear, it almost sounds like one parent talking to another parent. Like your parents, you know that feeling, right? Can't you do something for them? And all of us at some point have been or will be in that place. And Jesus was in that place in Matthew chapter 14. What happens there in Matthew chapter 14, the part before we read, it's important to know what he had heard. He had just learned that John the Baptist had died. And so John the Baptist, the forerunner of his ministry, his cousin, he just learns that he has passed away, and Jesus feels sorrow and wants to be by himself. And there's an important part to be reminded that Jesus, in the miracle of the incarnation, took on flesh and he respect yet without sin. That Jesus is not aloof to what it's like to walk and to be just dust like you and me. To be angry, and he knows what it's like to be sad. If you think about that passage where he went after his good friend Lazarus had died and he's going to visit Mary and Martha, that he's very sorrowful. And even if any of you have memorized one of the shortest scriptures in all of the Bible, Jesus wept. But there is in that short verse that Jesus knows what it's like to be in the flesh and to be thirsty and hungry and upset, and maybe here to be over being around the disciples in one place. But when he gets there, things are intended or hoped. He gets there and the crowds have heard that Jesus is going, and rather than give him some time away, they kind of are overwhelmed by their own needs, their own things that they're hoping Jesus can help them with, if it's illnesses or maybe even if it's food. And so they go on before him, and Matthew records he gets there and he gets to the shore and he looks up and he sees a great crowd. Now, if you were kind of reading, All you want to do is be by yourself in your grief and you're kind of overwhelmed with life, and you get there. How do you feel? Like if I read in, and Wayne got there, and he angry, frustrated, mad, overwhelmed. What I put in there, and Matthew records that Jesus, when he saw the great crowd, he had compassion on them. When Jesus saw them, he didn't see them as a big group of people that he had to somehow manage or send away. But when he saw them, he felt compassion. And that word compassion, deep inner turmoil that Jesus felt kind of within his body, that he saw them in their distress and he had compassion for them. And that word compassion is more than just we feel sorry for people. I would venture to guess that all of you maybe have seen someone this week that you felt sorry for. And you kind of like, okay, I'm over it. And you keep going. And Jesus here, that word that he had compassion on them, he was sorrowful and concerned about them to the point that he did something about it. He wanted, or the solitude that he wanted. He heals their sick. And then Matthew records in verse 15, now when it was evening, his disciples came to him and they said, this is a desolate place and the day is now over. Send the crowds away to get food for themselves. Now I can only imagine what it was like to be a disciple and to walk with Jesus. But they're all out there and they're kind of witnessing what's going on, and the crowds are there and it is evening and they are in a desolate place. And they're all kind of maybe in the background. When is he going to kind of finish this up, wrap this up, and send them? I've got fill in the blank to do, or I'm tired, or I'm weary. How in the world are we going to manage this crowd? And so I don't know if they maybe talked on the side, and it was like, all right, Peter, this is your thing. You like to talk. Like, why don't you go and represent us and be like, Jesus, in case you haven't noticed, it's evening. And these people need food. And rather than kind of read that as like, send them away, as like they were angry, why don't you send them away? Do that in your relationships with other people. Mary and I joke with each other. When we ask each other questions, sometimes we say, was that a question or a statement? And the disciples are saying, hey, why don't you send them away to get food? And Jesus doesn't let them off the hook. He says, they don't need to go away. You give them something to eat. Maybe the disciples kind of start looking at each other like, you got more than I think you got. 5,000 people, just counting the men, not counting the women and the children. There's this huge mass of kind of looking at each other like, what in the world might Jesus mean? And they said, we have only 5 loaves here and 2 fish. And Jesus said, bring them to me. The disciples take what is probably only enough food for a couple people. And Jesus gets everybody to sit down in groups on the grass. And then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. And he looked up to heaven and he said a blessing. And he broke the loaves and he gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds. Rather than seeing the people as something to manage or some issue, Jesus looked at them and he had compassion upon them. And he's leading and kind of teaching the disciples in this moment that ultimately it's not about what they have. It's not about man's before them. But really it's whether question of whether or not they have compassion for the people who are there. And if they're willing to use whatever it is that the Lord has entrusted to them, and to believe that God can do abundantly more than they can even begin to imagine or think in this moment in order to help the people. I read this passage, I am convicted on many levels. Part of me, I'm not always as I would like to be. I can look at people in their need and in their distress, and there's a part of me that I can start thinking about all the reasons why they ought to help themselves, or all these reasons why they got into this situation, or why it is that they need me, or I kind of get overwhelmed and I think, can I do it? The problem seems too big, it seems too overwhelming for me. What's the use of using the kingdom? But Jesus reminds us, I think, here in this passage, and Matthew reminds us that if you and I have a heart of compassion for other people, we're going to be willing to move toward them. And I think the heart of compassion flows from our understanding of the gospel. That ultimately you and I have to have such a belief in the gospel and be so overwhelmed for us and our need when we were like this crowd, hopeless and helpless apart from the intervention of Jesus in our lives. And Jesus, in the midst of all of that, Paul would say, even while we were sinners, Christ died for us. That he saw us, and rather than move away, or rather than feel sorrow and then kind of get on with his life, rather than any of those things, he humbled himself to the point of he had compassion for us. And I see my lack of compassion, and some of you are like, that's young. Others of you are like, glad you got up today. Glad you made it, old man. But the further I get away from being in the fourth grade, or the further I get away from being in the seventh grade, or the further I get away from, you know, I sound older, analogy and everything else you could throw in my life, right? But the thing that helps you continue to move towards people is to realize that you were this age at one point, that there were all these things that was thrown at you. And there develops in your heart a compassion to move forward and to try to help. And I think that the Lord live into his call upon our lives, that there has to be more compassion in our lives and more of seeing ourselves and the needs of other people. That the Lord gives us a heart of compassion to move toward people and to help them, then ultimately what we have at the end of the day doesn't really matter. What it is that the Lord's entrusted to us to steward faithfully for his kingdom purposes, that ultimately that's beside the point, because it's his through us to multiply that in ways that you and I can't do in and of our own selves. And really the goal of Christianity is not for you to discover the ways that you're innately gifted and all the resources that you have that you can apply to God's kingdom work here and then just use kind of whatever it is that you already have inherently. Because in many ways, that kind of just makes us feel more kind of confident and like, oh, I can do that. I can preach that sermon. I can do this, kind of fill in the blank. And rather than have more sense of dependence upon the Lord, I have more of a sense of self-sufficiency. And I've been reminded in recent days that Christianity ought to make you more humble and more dependent upon the Lord than try to get you to a place where you're independent and you can do this by yourself. That really the most dangerous place that you and I can find ourselves in as Christians is some sense of got this. I'm going to move toward these people in need, and I'm the one who's going to bring all the answers. I'm going to sort this thing out. The reason that you read your Bible every day is not because you are a strong, faithful Christian. The reason you get up and come to church in the morning is not because you are more self-righteous than someone else. But just imagine if you thought about reading your Bible and going to church as like a declaration of my need. Like, left to myself, this will not end well. And if you and I operate and move from that place of dependence, not self-sufficiency, but trust in that, like if we will just bring whatever it is that God's entrusted to us, he is able to do way more than you and I can imagine if we'll just bring it to him. So I'm hoping that part of what the Lord does in your heart and your life is to remind you of the great need that you have for Jesus and the great compassion that the Lord has shown you in your salvation. That you and I would not become like Pharisees or Sadducees, that we would not become like people who, the further we get away from the moment in which Jesus brought us to saving faith in himself, we kind of forget what it was like apart from him, like an old 46-year-old man and a teenager. But that I can have a heart of compassion to remember my own story and the ways in which God was graciously at work in my life, pursuing me and drawing me to faith in himself, and then I can see other people in their need, and I can think back to what it was like to be a 10-year-old kid who heard the gospel and responded in faith, and apart from God's grace and mercy, would I be? And as you and I develop a greater understanding of that, the Lord gives us a heart that's compassionate, and we move towards other people. So to move and to have a heart of compassion that's ever growing in our love for and our desire to help other people experience the abundant life that we've come to know. And then to realize that at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter really what you have to bring to the table. This for the kingdom of God does not depend upon your IQ or your ACT score or whether you can like memorize every book of the Bible or the scriptures or whether you can answer every question, but that ultimately the Lord is pleased to use very ordinary people like you and me who have hearts of compassion that are moved by the gospel, and we move toward people, and we just ask the Lord in real dependence to bless whatever it is that we bring to him that he might use it for his kingdom purposes. And you can't help but he says a blessing and he breaks the bread. What's the first thing that you think of? Anybody? The Lord's Supper. That's the first thing I think of. Where he says thanks and he breaks the bread and he gives it to the disciples. And in that moment, that is a reminder and a meal that reminds us of the depths of God's grace and his mercy and his kindness to us. Out of a sense of your dependence upon the Lord Jesus and what he's done for you, remember that it's not about what you have, but ultimately it's about whether the Lord breaks your heart for the people that he puts in your path. And then just step out in obedience and small acts to try to use what God's entrusted to you and the power of the Holy Spirit to meet their needs. And that's a really huge part of the life of discipleship. And so for me, more compassionate every day. Whoever the Lord puts in my path, whether they live in my house or in my neighborhood or go to church with me or whatever it is, the Lord gives me a heart of compassion for them. And this really bold faith that whatever he's entrusted to me will be enough and that he will do more in and through me if I'll just yield myself to his plans and his purposes. So I'm praying that for you. And join me as we lift our hearts to the Lord. Father, we thank you for your great compassion for us in Jesus. And we confess to you, Lord, that we can be more like Moses in the wilderness. We can be more like the disciples there with the crowds. And we can become indifferent to the needs and the challenges of those who are around us and our heart for them. So we pray that you would move our hearts as we contemplate all that you've done for us, the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, we would marvel at the mercy and the compassion that you've shown us, and Lord, that you would move us out to show that to others. And help us not to look to what we have, but to remember that you can take whatever we yield to your plans and purposes, you can multiply beautiful and powerful ways to help others flourish more through faith in you. We offer this prayer in the name of your Son, our Savior. Amen.